Welcome back, everyone, to the Midlife Hour, where we break down shows, movies, music that keeps us up at night, sometimes literally, just like tonight, as we're broadcasting pretty late in my time zone. I know it's late for Bob, but we did it to stay up, to be the first ones on YouTube to talk about the Throne season finale.
Crazy, spooky, I'm DP, ridiculous, your hilarious. Co-host.
I'm here with my best bud, Bob, Arcadian. Bob, how are you holding up after that Throne season finale?
Honestly, barely, man. Fuck, it's so much to unload. I can't even... That's not an orgasm, by the way. That's just an excited reaction to what I thought was a really good finale. What did you think?
I think it sounded like you're giving birth to a ghost baby just there. But no, God. Same here. You know, From isn't just a show. It's an experience. And every week it dangles answers just out of reach and then smacks you with more questions. And this finale, it had a bit of everything. Some heartbreaks, some revelations, and of course, plenty of nightmare fuel.
If you're a fan of existential dread, small town mystery vibes, and the kind of horror that burrows into your psyche, then this shit's like tailor-made for you guys, man. Like, yeah, I really don't know how else to put it.
And we know a lot of you are here because of your interest. You know, I feel like From being on MGM Plus, maybe it doesn't get the wide audience as some of the other major streaming platforms do, but you're still trying to process what just happened. We get it. Tonight, Bob and I are unpacking everything, the twists, the character arcs, the clues we missed, and some wild theories that we might have stemming from how things wrapped up this year. What's really going to make this a turning point is like the terrifying little reveal in the final moments of this season finale. But before we get there, spoiler alert, if you have not watched the season finale, I would not proceed any further. So,
yeah, come over back the course, if you're going to be mad that we're spoiling it for you guys.
100%. Don't blame me, motherfucker. We gave you a warning. Over the course of this season, I think we mentioned it in the last episode 9, I've been a little bit disappointing. I feel like we've gotten more questions than answers this season. There's been significantly less action, a lot of dialogue. To me, somewhat meaningless dialogue, but I would say this episode 10 was the best of this season so far.
Yeah. Slow, meaningless dialogue throughout the entire season so far. I agree with that. But it hasn't been as terrible as you said. It's been interesting enough to keep me interested, you know?
Well, it's kept me interested. I'm still watching religiously every week.
Fucking love this show.
That's saying a lot for someone like me, because I could be doing any number of things. So let's start from the beginning with episode 1 this year. We won't go through every little arc, but I think it's important to get back to where we started. When Tabitha, you know, wakes up, I think, was it somewhere in New England? Was it Maine? Massachusetts? I think it was Maine. She woke up in a hospital in Maine and finds her way through the city, not really disclosing about her experience with the town, and eventually meets up with, what's his name's
Victor's
father?
Victor's dad.
Yeah, Victor's dad.
We'll just call him Old Man Victor's dad.
Old Man Vic?
Old Man Vic. Vic Sr.
Yeah, there's a lot of revelations in that little segment at the beginning of the season, too. The fact that Victor's mom was having premonitions or flashbacks or visions of the town and things that were going on, including the children, prior to her ever even arriving there. So that was a good little plot twist right there. And, you know, in the quest to find another tree that Victor's mom had planted in a nearby park, they get to the car accident, they end up in an ambulance, and end up right back into the town, this time with some new characters that were short-lived, as well as the police officer and Old Man Vic. But the reason why that's important is I feel like over the course of this season, Tabitha's experience and knowledge and interactions with whatever's going on has slowly been revealed more and more. And that was kind of like a key plot point in the season finale episode.
And I might just want to take a deep dive into that shit right now.
Yeah, let's hear what you got to say. It goes on and on.
Yeah.
Woke up looking for the broccoli. So I guess it's a little K-Dot.
And it's also right now. Really relevant to this season finale. And if you're still here, we told you guys, if you haven't seen the finale, to get the fuck out. So it's time. It's time to unveil what we just watched to the world. Holy shit. So is she reincarnated? What is that?
I don't know. Obviously, we literally just got done watching the episodes. So I haven't spent a lot of time processing what was revealed in the final moments. But, you know, obviously, we learned through the course of the season that she's starting to realize that she's been there before. And season episode 9 when she touches Victor down in the cellar outside of where Fatima's being held.
She touches Victor down in the cellar.
She has that that premonition of what Victor's mom saw in her final moments before, you know, she went through the tree on her quest to save the children.
Tragic shit. Ripped to shreds.
Tragic. And then in this episode, you know, they figure out that the numbers on the wandering trees are musical notes for a song. And they end up going to a tree and performing that song. And all the children start to appear, start to come closer. And they have that interaction where they seem to finally understand. And it seems as if there was a premonition that was being had that wasn't necessarily depicted on screen for the audience. But a lot was revealed in that moment. And Tabitha ultimately discusses how she's been there before.
With Jade. And they had a daughter.
And that daughter, they were trying to save. And as we know from the other half of what was being revealed, that others, the monsters that live below the town, sacrificed their children in pursuit of living forever.
Who the fuck would do that? As a parent, could you imagine meeting the devil and he's like, yo, check it. Give me 2 years, I'll let you live to like 526. Deal? Are you going to take that shit? What the fuck?
I mean, we know people that do it for a 40 and some scratch lotto tickets, so it's not too far-fetched to live forever.
Nigga Ray Ray on 34th, yeah.
So what do you think about that? Fatima gave birth to an other monster, the big smiley one.
A whale blob, really, is what it was.
But it was the one that was killed earlier in the season with the goop.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude? The creepy smiley guy? What the fuck, man? That's crazy. He was the creepiest of them all, though, in all honesty. Can we agree on that?
I think 100% we can agree on that. And it has to do with the cheeks. Now, I don't know if his cheeks are naturally that wide or that large, or if it's a prosthetic, but it does the trick.
He has to be an animated actor. I think after this, I'll look up his Wikipedia.
So we see them down there doing a little ceremony, bring the blob down after, you know, Fatima gives birth and he's reincarnated. It's like an episode of reincarnation. I think that the title of the episode was Revelations Chapter 2. I'm not much of a religious person, so I couldn't go into any connections.
But could we talk about how it's kind of going into like a spiritual sense? Almost in like how we talked about Lost in the last episode that we did. How the end of Lost was kind of like purgatory, wasn't it? At the end of the day, they were waiting to go to heaven.
And I'll be honest, when I was watching season one I thought they were in purgatory, but I don't quite think that they would do the same arc as another prominent TV show in the same vein.
But it did hint to that tonight, didn't it?
There's got to be something more to it, but go on that. Go on your theory. Let's hear it.
I can't remember exactly what was said to Michael with the pastor that was talking to him, but he kind of said the next choice you make is who you're going to be from now on. That to me is almost like in a spiritual sense, like what walk are you going to take the rest of your life? Are you going to, if in a Christian sense, are you going to take the holy road or are you going to take the secular road, the worldly road? And for a second, he almost took the worldly road until Sarah's crazy ass went in there and you know what? G'd the fuck out. She G'd the fuck out.
She did. And I like what she said. She said, they already have my soul, and that she knew that Boyd wasn't going to go far enough to get the answers.
And she wanted to save his soul because he was a good man.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really think too much about what the pastor was saying in the moment and how that might actually affect things. But now that we've seen the entire episode, that kind of makes sense. There's a little bit more meaning. Maybe he literally meant, like, whatever choice you make, it will define who he'll be the next iteration of himself.
And I could be wrong, but I think it's definitely a fun theory to explore, at the very least.
So the big ending,
the
yellow suit comes out, Jim gets slaughtered, throat's gone.
Rips Jim's throat clean the fuck out. You know what that reminded me of? That that Walking Dead episode when Rick is my lips are chapped as fuck. When Rick is like someone's about to fuck his son. Do you remember this episode? Like he's about to get molested. They're on the side of the road and the guy has a gun to Rick's head. And then Rick slams his head against the gun and the bullet, you know, goes back into the chamber. He's bleeding and he's concussed. And then he sees the guy about to rape Carl and he fucking right in his throat. And you just see the shit. Just rah.
Nope.
Gnarly.
I haven't seen Walking Dead since like 2011, 2012.
Just take my word for it. fucking gnarly. It was graphic as shit. And then it's just over.
So about the scene with the man in yellow suit, what I thought was very interesting is Julie was there, but Julie had short hair. Julie didn't look like the same Julie that we saw in the present timeline when she was speaking with her brother, kind of figuring things out. So that's definitely Julie from the future trying to come back to the past, trying to alter things. And she obviously knew where to find her father, Jim, because it had already happened to her, right? But I cued in on the short hair and something had happened. And just like Jim had predicted, as far as playing the song, that the whatever is going on, whatever entity that controls the town is like daring them or enticing them to do these things.
I knew the song was bad because was it season two that Boyd was locked in that cellar dungeon thing with the Marine that's chained to the wall?
Yeah.
And that little ballerina music box was on the bottom. Remember?
Yeah. And Jim even brought that up as far as the ballerina and the music box. You kind of took me off track there. So now you're going to have to take over.
Well, my apologies. But I didn't notice Julie with the short hair when she came up. I knew it was Julie, but I just completely overlooked the hair change because I was just so in shock of, well, that was before he got his throat ripped out, to be fair. But I was just so in shock. I think of Sarah damn near murdering, what's fucking Elgin. That was crazy, dude. She fucking popped his eye out. His eye was dangling.
I mean, it's not the worst thing she's ever done. She slit her own brother's throat.
And she tried to kill that little 7-year-old.
But the point being is that whatever is controlling the town or whatever is running this experiment or this purgatory or whatever this state of being that everyone's trapped in, it is using voices or it's trying to entice people to do things that will actually serve the entity and not serve the people. But even with Sarah, she thought she was serving everybody by trying to murder the little boy. Even with Elgin, he thought he was serving everybody by keeping Fatima in the cellar so she can give birth to the baby just being another other. So Jim was hit the nail on the head. The song, all it did was make things worse. They're fulfilling some evil prophecy. It'll be interesting to see where things go in season 4, but I gotta be honest with you, they have a whole year to do this next season, and if they try to start just drawing things out for the sake of making the show more prominent or making more money, I'll probably stop watching. That's how disappointed I am in the season.
Well, that's the reason why we're old and in midlife, because we don't give that shit any chance that it doesn't deserve when it's shit in the bed. But how fucked is it that as soon as Jim is actually right about some shit, he finally gets clarity, kind of heals things with his wife, not his kids per se, but his wife. He's on the same page. Him and Jade and Miranda are all working together, figuring shit out to get to that song. And then boom, gone. That's how it goes.
The bigger question is, at what part in the timeline is Tabitha and Jade have a daughter? Is this something that happened before, or is this something that happens after? Because we know Jim dies.
Absolutely afterwards. Absolutely. And that's why I think she was heartbroken when she talked to Jim about it, because she didn't know how to feel. I imagine that's like almost feeling not as much as raped, but being invaded and you never knew when it happened. That's got to be a weird feeling for a woman,
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that characterization, because if you can tell by the way she reacted to the feeling of the loss of her own child, as they had, you know, sung lullabies to the children, she definitely had an emotional connection to whatever premonition wasn't displayed on screen to the audience. So whatever she knew, whatever new knowledge was, you know, bestowed upon her, she felt that intrinsically. It wasn't just something that was just revealed and told to her. So whatever feelings that she had for Jade and their daughter, she felt that.
The daughter's name was Miranda?
Might have been. Can't immediately recall.
Yeah, I can't. I can't recall it either.
I was a little disappointed. I told you this. I'm not going to lie or pretend. Here's the thing. MGM, they're trying to make waves. They're trying to carve out a little niche for them when it comes to the streaming platforms and market. They have a couple of shows that are keeping people interested. The only reason I got an MGM Plus subscription through Amazon was because of From. And if it wasn't there, I wouldn't have it. So they have a cash cow, and they want to keep people subscribed, paying whatever money they are per month for their platform, when really there's not much on that platform to offer the audience. And so now the writers, the producers, the network is incentivized to keep people attached to the show as long as possible. And it seems like to me that this season might have been, they might have stretched out an entire season's worth of story and gave us half of it over 10 episodes, because there was not a lot of momentum, not a lot of progression, not a lot revealed. The story didn't really move this season until the final episode.
Very similar to the Kendrick album. I wonder if they planned this. It's possible.
So I'll probably be suspending my MGM Plus account until next year, because there's nothing else that I want to watch on it.
I do that shit for all those. Netflix too.
Now that my Netflix has been on lock since like 2009, when it was still DVDs, when they're sending DVDs.
In the mail.
Yeah, when I was in Korea, we would order Netflix DVDs to Korea to watch like American movies and stuff.
Adult DVDs. That's what he's not telling you.
Thanks for joining us. Maybe not the most insightful review immediately after a finale.
But it's late.
We got a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to sleep on. And hey, we have an entire year to sit with this episode, sit with this season, come up with theories. I'm sure there'll be a lot of major platforms coming out with different, you know, did you catch this, or what does this mean on From? And they'll probably do a better job of explaining those things. That's not what this is about. This is two average dudes talking about a show, having a conversation, making you feel like you just watched it with your buddies. So we hope you felt at home. We hope you come back. Check out some other content on the channel, and don't be a stranger.
Stay black.